Hi, and welcome to the Magazine Rack on Chris. I'm Steve Parker. Today I'll be reading from the February 5th issue of People Magazine. All right, let's take a look at what we see on the front page of this latest issue here of People Magazine. Oh my gosh, she's so pretty, so pretty. Kate's health crisis. The mom of three undergoes abdominal surgery that even those close to the royal family didn't know about. How she'll lean on Prince William following a lengthy hospital stay and keep things normal for the kids during her tough recovery. Beautiful picture of her here to the right. Just not really much of a smile, but a touch of a smile as she's looking off to the side there. Beautiful brown hair, looks like green eyes. And you see her earring there, just on her left ear there. Beautiful, beautiful picture. And up to the right, we see Christie Brinkley turns 70. And there's a little something in here about on aging and her eat, pray, love bucket list. And a picture of Scott Peterson. Could Scott Peterson be innocent? New controversy over the 21-year-old murder of his pregnant wife, Lacey. That's what we have on the front page. And let's see. Princess Kate's long road to recovery. And we see a picture of Princess Kate here. She's wearing like a purple top there. We just see it from the shoulders up. A soft look on her face. Her lips are parted just a little bit. Brownish hair, maybe a few light highlights in it. And this story, let's see, is by Simon Perry. Navigating a challenging path after serious abdominal surgery, the princess leans on husband Prince William and her close-knit family. Amid her recovery, Princess Kate, that we see here on November 15th, apologized for postponing upcoming outings and looks forward to reinstating as many as possible as soon as possible, the palace said on January 17th. Wrapped in an elegant blue Alexander McQueen coat and wearing matching sapphire earrings that once belonged to Princess Diana, Princess Kate, 42, beamed as she walked to church on Christmas Day alongside her husband, Prince William, 41, and their children, Prince George, 10, Princess Charlotte, 8, and Prince Louis, age 5, or Prince Louis. After the service, there was no hint of any impending issue, as Kate graciously accepted bouquets from well-wishers, exchanging laughs and cheerful banter with the public before the family of five left for a festive lunch around King Charles Sandringham House table. Just 3 weeks later, on January 17th, Kensington Palace made a bombshell announcement. The Princess of Wales had been admitted to the private London clinic for planned abdominal surgery the previous day and would remain hospitalized for 10 to 14 days before returning home to continue her recovery. The palace advised that it would be unlikely for Kate to return to public duties until after Easter. Within their broader circle of family friends, there had been no indication that anything was wrong, and the carefully guarded news about Kate's situation came as a surprise, even to those who worked closely with the royal family. Spending the holiday season at their country home, Amner Hall, the couple and their children enjoyed family time with their royal relatives while catching up with friends for outings in the Norfolk countryside. Around the New Year, they spent time with Kate's family, including her brother James and his wife, Elise Levinette, and their newborn son, Inigo. As they resumed daily life at Windsor's Adelaide Cottage, they celebrated Kate's 42nd birthday on January 9th privately. And the following day, George, Charlotte, and Louis returned to their school, Lambrook. However, as William resumed the public duties on January 11th, it became evident that some expected public engagements for Princess Diana were unconfirmed. And behind the scenes, there were schedule changes and growing confusion and concerns. What exactly was the future queen facing? Although Kate's planned abdominal surgery was deemed a success, and she is said to be doing well by a royal source, her lengthy hospital stay and the anticipated three-month recovery at home have raised concerns. Amid mounting questions, Kate and William's office underscored the need for private privacy regarding her personal medical information. The palace has not disclosed the nature of her condition, but has stated it is non-cancerous. The lack of clarity stands in stark contrast to another piece of royal health news. Within 2 hours of disclosing Kate's surgery, the palace announced that King Charles, 75, will be undergoing surgery for an enlarged prostate. News he revealed with the aim of inspiring other men to consult their doctors, while Charles opted for transparency regarding his diagnosis. Kate chose discretion, expressing a desire to maintain as much normality for her children as possible, according to her office. Indeed, those close to William and Kate say family life is the couple's priority, with public engagements and trips scheduled around the children and their school vacations. The current situation is no different. William cleared his calendar to be by Kate's side and support their family. He was photographed driving from the hospital after a visit on January 18th and is not expected to resume public duties until several days after she returns home from the hospital. He will manage the children alongside longtime nanny Maria Teresa Borello and help with school pickups and drop-offs. "We know they are a very tight family unit, and he wants to be there for them," says Robert Hardman, author of The Making of a King, King Charles III, and The Modern Monarchy. So much of what they do with those kids is about normalizing life and like they are in a special gilded cage. A close family friend says the couple doesn't have a huge private staff, and as a result, William is really hands-on. He doesn't want any mistakes made with the next generation. He wants to give them a proper upbringing and lots of love. "That is foremost in his mind," the friend says. Adds Hardman, "They are a modern royal couple. There would have been more delegation in the past. He doesn't want to leave it all to the nanny. Their family dynamic is more like one we can all recognize," as a source close to the royal household. That doesn't mean that days and weeks ahead won't be challenging for George, Charlotte, and Louis. Kate, who is known for her active lifestyle, is rarely ill, apart from suffering hypermesis gravidarum, severe morning sickness, during her pregnancies. At home, it's Kate who leads the messy baking sessions with her children and whips up family-style meals like lasagna and curry. Alongside William, she's a constant presence on the sidelines of George's and Charlotte's sporting events and accompanies them to friends' birthday parties. "She is very engaged with the children's lives," says the source close to the royal household. "It's always a little disruptive when a mother is ill and the routine changes. She's not there to do the things she would do when they're all together." Kate's recent Christmas Carol concert at Westminster Abbey on December 8th highlighted her dedication to supporting families and children, a theme recurrent in her working life. As 2024 began, her Shaping Us campaign was poised to expand, focusing on how businesses can support young families. Planned international visits to Rome and a military base have also been postponed, with foreign travel deferred for the coming months. "It is sensible to take the time," says the source close to the royal household. "That is a great example to the rest of us, as you're often told to get back to work as soon as possible, which can be damaging. It is good for all of us to see her taking the time, recovering properly, and then coming back. We can all learn from that." As a former patient at the London Clinic, "The physical therapists are amazing, helping you recover and get back on your feet. After abdominal surgery, you need a lot of patience and it's a bit scary at first." Once back home at Adelaide Cottage in Windsor, Kate will receive ample support from her close-knit family, including parents Carol and Michael and siblings Pippa and James, who live a short car ride away. Her parents are an enduring factor in the upbringing of their grandchildren, says a palace insider, and they will be a reassuring presence when she goes back to Windsor to recuperate. With sprawling acres of picturesque farmland and woods, Kate will find the space and privacy needed for healing as she embarks on her long recovery. There's confidence in her resilience. "It does sound serious with the length of time she's taking, but she is in great hands and will have lots of care and support at home and is a fit young woman, says the source close to the royal household. "I am sure she will bounce back. And let's see what Christy Brinkley is up to. Christy at 70. I embrace the day. As she enters a new decade, Christy Brinkley shares what living life to the fullest looks like now. This story by Jackie Fields. On a bitterly cold recent January day, New Yorkers were bracing for snow, but Christy Brinkley was looking on the sunny side. Hopefully friends will come by and we'll get the sleds out or all together around the fire and catch up and have fun, she said from her home on Long Island. Those are the moments to cherish. Brinkley, whose milestone 70th birthday is February 2nd, doesn't have a major celebration planned, in part because she knows time with loved ones is the greatest gift, but also she's been too busy to plan herself a party. The only time I ever put a plan in place was for the big 5-0, she says. The big 7-0 was another one of those ages that's up there in giant block numbers that loom over. So over the last 5 years, I thought, I'm going to do a big blowout, but I haven't really had a second to put a plan in place, and that's absolutely fine with me. The entrepreneur is busy as ever with a Bellissima, a certified organic sparkling and zero sugar still wine that she launched in 2016, and she's collaborating with XL Brands Incorporated for the spring launch of lifestyle and apparel brand TWRHLL, pronounced Tower Hill, and named after her Long Island estate. Of its aesthetic, she says, I like clothes that move with me from morning until night, and that I can dress up or dress down. And with an eye to the environment, I want to create classic pieces that you'll hold on to, but with just a slight updated tweak to make it so you feel au courant. That's what I want. The venture is as much about making wearers feel good in their skin as it is about the legacy she leaves behind. If TWRHLL, Tower Hill, becomes very successful, I'd love to be able to do things that very successful people do with their money in terms of giving back. At 70, you kind of say, what can I do to help others? Brinkley hasn't given any thought to retiring, even as her bucket list fills up. With any age, you never know, but there is a sense of reality that that starts to approach you at this point. I want to get some of those items done. Hovering at the top, travel. I still have to see India. I've never been to Tahiti or Thailand. I want to go to Bali also. I've got to do an eat, pray, love. Not that she needs anything to come from the love part. While Brinkley remains open to a relationship, there just doesn't seem to be anybody out there. At the same time, she adds, I'm pretty comfortable with my life the way it is, so que sera, sera. For now, the mother of three, Alexa Ray Joel, 38, from her marriage to Billy Joel, Jack Brinkley Cook, age 28, from her marriage to Richard Taubman, Jack was later adopted by Peter Cook, and Sailor Brinkley Cook, 25, from her marriage to Cook, is focused on feeling as good as I can on my big 7-0, she says. The decades-long vegetarian remains devoted to plant-based meals. Right now, she likes Sakara's delivery program, and she's ambassador for RYZE, Rise Adaptogenic Mushrooms, which claim to reduce the effects of stress on the body. I put it in my coffee in the morning, she says. She loves a bike ride, spin class, or home stretching sessions, though these days the star, who has had a number of injuries over the years, says massages are also a must. Brinkley also gets skin resurfacing Fraxel treatment twice a year to help with previous sun damage. As for her wrinkles, she's accepting certain ones. Sometimes when people get older and they overdo it, they can look waxy and I don't know what the world is, preserved or something. I want a little life to show on my face, you know? On Instagram, Brinkley shares an occasional makeup tutorial. The goal, she says, is to not show her followers how to create a perfect look, but a quick one, so you can get out and embrace the day. A lot of people don't get to reach this number, so I want to celebrate it. Get me outside. Get me out there. And, of course, a lot of glamour shots with her years in modeling. 1967, before she was famous, Brinkley's smile lit up the pages of her Paul Revere Junior High School yearbook. Cute little face there, blonde hair, big smile. 1979, Brinkley strikes a pose for what would be her first of three consecutive Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue covers. 1984, oh, she's got the big 80s hair there. The star whose first acting role was in 1983's National Lampoon's Vacation, and here she is at the Academy Awards. 1996, Brinkley seen here at the Fragrance Foundation's 24th Fifi Awards. Spent more than 20 years as a face of CoverGirl. 2005, the supermodel walks the runway in support of the Heart Truths Red Dress Collection fashion show. 2014, Brinkley arrives in style to the 50th anniversary celebration of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. She's done okay for herself, I'd say. We see another shot of her with the family, close-knit family. Brinkley and her children, Jack, Alexa Ray, and Sailor, flashed their matching grins on Instagram in 2022. They all have their mother's teeth. Beautiful. Oh, we have in the crime section here. Could convicted killer Scott Peterson go free? Lawyers say new evidence backs claim he didn't murder wife Lacey Peterson. The Los Angeles Innocence Project, a pro bono legal organization that fights for the exoneration of wrongfully convicted inmates, has taken on the case of Scott Peterson, 51, whom a jury found guilty of the 2002 murder of his pregnant wife, Lacey, age 27, and their unborn son, Connor. On January 17th, the L.A.-based lawyers filed a motion on Peterson's behalf in California's Superior Court of San Mateo County, seeking DNA testing of evidence gathered by police during the investigation of Lacey's murder. According to the motion submitted last week, new evidence now supports Mr. Peterson's longstanding claim of innocence and raises many questions into who abducted and killed Lacey and Connor Peterson. A portion of the evidence Scott's new lawyers want to have tested relates to a December 2002 burglary across the street from the couple's Modesto, California home. The lawyers believe that the test result will debunk the prosecutor's timeline of events leading up to Lacey's murder. During Scott's 2004 trial, his defense attorney, Mark Garagos, argued that men who committed the burglary may have had something to do with Lacey's disappearance. Prosecutors countered that the burglary had actually taken place 2 days after Lacey disappeared and was unrelated. In the recent filed motion, Scott's new lawyers claim they have evidence that the burglary did, in fact, take place on the day Lacey disappeared and that the prosecution's timeline of Lacey's activities that morning was simply wrong. Items they are requesting to test for DNA include cloth from a blood-stained mattress recovered from a van that was purportedly seen on the Peterson Street, as well as duct tape found on Lacey's pants, a hammer that was allegedly handled by the burglars, and twine or tape found tied in a bow around Connor's neck. Lacey's mother, Sharon Rocha, could not be reached for comment by press time. In a statement to People, meaning People's Magazine, Scott's attorney, Pat Harris, said, "We are very excited to have the incredible attorneys at the L.A. Innocence Project lend their considerable expertise to helping prove Scott Peterson's innocence." That story by Casey Baker with Emily Palmer. And here's a story. Crystal Hefner, My Toxic Life at the Playboy Mansion. Hugh Hefner's widow is pulling back the curtain on their dysfunctional dynamic in a new memoir and coming to terms with her playmate past. This story is by Susan Young. Crystal Hefner is not the first woman to look back with regret, but her most egregious youthful transgression, getting involved with a sex industry mogul 6 decades her senior when she was barely legal, is in a league of its own. I look at that 21-year-old and I'm like a little baby, Crystal, now 37, tells People. I read that judgment in your brain doesn't fully form until your late 20s. I had no chance. But now, with the clarity that comes from time and maturity, Hugh Hefner's widow is pulling off the lid and spilling the secrets about her life inside the Playboy Mansion in a new tell-a-lot memoir, Only Say Good Things, Surviving Playboy and Finding Myself. The first part of the title stems from Hugh's directive to his wife as they went to bed the night of his last birthday party on April 9th, 2017. I want you to continue my legacy going forward, and I want to remind you to only say good things about me. Not long afterward, Hugh came down with a minor infection that led to his death from cardiac arrest at age 91 on September 27th of 2017 inside his beloved Playboy mansion. The preeminent party boy and founder of the Playboy empire left behind his wife of nearly 5 years, who had served as his caretaker in his final months. At first, she kept her promise not to talk about the dark side of the life she was sucked into after after she was invited to the L.A. mansion for a Halloween party in 2008. Back then, the aspiring model named Crystal Harris, a dazzled, starry-eyed girl, jumped at the chance to step into the glittering circle of wealth and influence surrounding Hugh and his bunnies, and perhaps land a coveted Playboy centerfold. She studied psychology at San Diego University after a difficult childhood, spent bouncing around small California towns like gritty Chula Vista and tawny La Jolla with her widowed real estate agent mom, Lee Lovett, a series of her mom's boyfriends, and later a stepdad, Ted. Even though the sun was setting on the Playboy empire, Crystal saw opportunity there. That ornate front door looked like the doorway to success, to a place that could make all of our dreams come true, she writes in her book. But she tells people, everyone's having to sleep with an 80-year-old. There's a price. Everything has a price. The first night she accepted Hugh's offer to come up to his room and join a group sex party, she stayed the weekend, and a few days later, Hugh invited her to move in. I thought I was on top, Crystal recalls. I thought, wow, if I just get like everything that he likes, if I just get like everything that he likes and do all the things that he wants me to do, then I'm the favorite. I'm going to be the perfect person for Hef. Crystal, whose biological father died when she was 12, writes that her mom heaved a wistful sigh when she heard her daughter was moving into the mansion, but later became a frequent visitor herself. Crystal worked her way up to become Hugh's number one girlfriend, but was shocked when he proposed to her with an engagement ring inside a Little Mermaid music box during a party on Christmas Eve in 2010. We hadn't even talked about marriage, she writes. We weren't in love. Like all things with Hef, it was a transaction. After briefly running away to be with Dr. Phil's son, Jordan, a relationship that turned sour and left her struggling to make it on her own, Crystal returned to Hef. But she ensured she'd be adequately compensated in their prenup. They were married on New Year's Eve, 2012. Though Crystal married Hef for potential fame and fortune, she came to love him as he began to rely on her as his caregiver. Still, he was difficult and controlling, making his girlfriends come to him each week to collect the allowance, quote unquote. He doled out in crisp bills. He stipulated that the money was to be spent on looking beautiful according to his exacting standards. Our nail polish couldn't be anything but some neutral color. No French manicure. Such a weird, stupid little thing, Crystal says. To this day, she struggles with choosing nail colors or designs that don't match her late husband's preferences. We weren't allowed to have a belly button ring because that's trashy. He would tell me, wear the flag. That's the Playboy logo. And those shirts were uncomfortable and cheap. I'm going to skip through this one a little bit because of time. Despite her negative memories of life with Hugh, Crystal hasn't soured on love. Though single, she hopes to one day have a happy ending, which may include a family of her own. I would like to get married. I froze eggs, so maybe children one day, she says. She still serves as president of the Hugh M. Hefner Foundation, she says, to do some good with the money he left. The work I'm doing now with the foundation is trying to rectify the harm his empire has done. As for her memoir, she adds, I wrote the book I wished I'd had when I was 21 before I went into the mansion. Before I went into the mansion. And let's check in with the five things we're talking about. Number one, Reba heads to the Super Bowl. Reba McEntire will kick off Super Bowl 58 on February 11th. By singing the national anthem. I'm honored to be part of something as big and historic as the Super Bowl coming to Las Vegas, she said. Number two, J-Lo's musical movie. The trailer for Jennifer Lopez's This Is Me Now, a love story, a Prime Video film tying into her February 16th album, features multiple weddings, a motorcycle, and post-apocalyptic scenery. We can't wait. Number 3, a Chuck E. Cheese game show. For grown-ups who love or hate the activities at the kid-friendly pizza chain, the makers of Top Chef and Nailed It now have a Chuck E. Cheese-themed competition series in the works. Number 4, Wizards of Waverly Place is back. The Russos return. Disney Channel announced that David Henry and Selena Gomez will reprise their roles on a sequel series to the magical 2007 through 2012 hit. Henry will be a regular, while Gomez guest stars in the pilot. And number 5, Jodie Foster in Star Wars? The Force was not with Jodie Foster. She admitted she turned down the role of Princess Leia in the 1970s because of another movie contract. The late Carrie Fisher famously played Leia instead. And scooting over to the scoop section. Scoop all the Hollywood news you need to know. Alec Baldwin faces a new charge in Rust shooting, this story by Eric Anderson. Alec Baldwin is facing prosecution again for his involvement in the fatal 2021 shooting on the set of the Western Rust. On January 19th, a Santa Fe grand jury indicted the actor and producer 65 on a charge of involuntary manslaughter in connection with the death of cinematographer Helena Hutchins, 9 months after special prosecutors Kerry Morrissey and Jason Lewis dropped a prior manslaughter charge against him. Following the surprising news, Baldwin's attorneys Luke Nikas and Alex Spiro released a statement saying they look forward to our day in court, while an attorney for Hutchins' family, Gloria Allred, said they are too. Our clients have always sought the truth about what happened. A family friend of Baldwin, who faces up to 18 months in prison if convicted, and his wife, Hilaria, 40, says the new legal drama has been frustrating for the couple, who share 7 children. This is not how they wanted to start the new year, the friend says. It's very stressful. In 2021, Baldwin was rehearsing on the Rust set with a prop revolver when it discharged, killing Hutchins, then 42, and injuring director Joel Souza, age 50. Baldwin has maintained that he did not know the gun was mistakenly contained a live bullet and that he did not pull the trigger. When initial prosecutors charged Baldwin a year ago, they accused him of reckless acts. Armorer Hannah Gutierrez-Reed was also charged with involuntary manslaughter at the time. She has pleaded not guilty, and her trial is set for February. By April, Morrissey and Lewis, who took over the case in March, announced they were dropping the charges against Baldwin because of new facts. They added that he could be charged again. 2 months later, prosecutors said the gun had been sent to an expert for further testing. The forensic report concluded that the trigger must have been pulled sufficiently to cause the accident. However, the report noted that in order to test the gun, which was previously damaged by FBI investigators, replacement parts were needed. Kate Mangels, a California criminal defense attorney who is not involved in the case, expected Baldwin's legal team to zero in on the fact to sow doubt about the evidence. His attorneys will make every effort to get rid of this case. This reporting by Pernilla Sedenheim and Jack Smart. And one more, the latest in his custody drama. Charlie Sheen and his ex-wife, Brooke Mueller, have agreed to protections for their 14-year-old twin sons, Max and Bob, amid her struggles with addiction. On January 18th, the two-and-a-half-men actor, age 58, was granted an emergency order that will give him sole custody of the boys should Mueller, 46, relapse again or produce a positive result from her weekly drug and alcohol testing. According to the documents, Mueller relapsed in the summer of 2023. While Sheen, who recently celebrated 6 years of sobriety after his own struggles with drugs and alcohol, and Mueller have shared joint custody of the twins since their divorce in 2011, the boys have primarily lived with their dad, with flexible periods of custody and visitation from Mueller. Their mom has been trying to figure some stuff out on her end, so she's not in the picture too much right now, Sheen told People in December. That last story here in the scoop section was by J.P. Mangalindan. And I think that's going to do it for this installment of the Magazine Rack. I've been reading from the February 5th issue of People magazine. I'm Steve Parker. So long until next time.